this is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Welcome to the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. My name is Raymond Grenfell. Brahma's in the studio as well, giving you the Indie Media Show until 12 noon. That's all the news and the interviews and views from the open publishing wires of the interwebs. But before we go any further, a huge thank you to the man with the golden voice, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Always a pleasure going on after Jeff on a Monday morning. Of course, On the Record will be back tomorrow and every weekday here at RTRFM from 9 in the a.m. And as I said, though, this is the Indie Media Show, giving you the political and current affairs for the next hour. And on today's program, we're going to be talking a bit about, the cost of living in Australia at the moment. Working people across the country are currently facing very much the worst cost of living crisis for a generation. We've got huge inflation or record inflation rates for the last decades, as well as the energy crisis in the eastern states, seeing electricity prices skyrocketing. And it's, quite dire for many people in the community, especially for working class people. So we're going to be chatting a little later in the show to Paz Forgione. He's the co-coordinator of the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia. We're also going to be chatting a bit about refugee policy. There's, a fair bit of hype around the incoming ALP government, the new ALP government, around issues such as climate change and so forth. But there's a bit of ambiguity around whether there's going to be any humane changes to refugee policy, especially when Albanese himself said that they'll continue to stop the boats and imparating people like Tony Abbott. Very much leading up the election, took quite a hard line on refugees. However, there is there has been some positive outcomes. And so we're going to be talking about that and dissecting some of the potential changes to refugee policy a little later in the show when we speak to Ian Rintoul, a regular contributor to Indie Media from the Refugee Action Coalition. Working class people in this country are currently facing the worst cost of living crisis for a generation. With inflation higher than it's been in decades and an energy crisis in the eastern states seeing electricity prices skyrocketing, it's difficult enough for those of us employed to make ends meet. Spare a thought then for the unemployed and the poor, drowning in debt and struggling to pay their bills. Indie Media's Alex Wisson spoke earlier this morning to Paz Forgione, the co-coordinator of the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia. Paz began by giving his reaction to the recent turfing from office of the coalition government and what it meant for unemployed and poor people.
Well, the first reaction, of course, is tremendous relief. One looks back over the last 9 years of Abbott, Turnbull and Morrison, and there have been like a lot of horrors that have been like inflicted on people on people on low incomes, on people on settling payments, and a lot of horrors that they attempted to inflict, which were fortunately blocked because of community pressure. So we had, of course, that a vicious 2014 federal budget where they try to pass legislation, meaning that job seekers under the age of 30 would only have access to unemployment payments for 6 months at a time. There were multiple moves to introduce drug testing of people on Centrelink payments, blocked because of tremendous community pressure. But of course, a lot of things that they were successful at, introducing. We saw the expansion of the cashless welfare card to multiple new sites in Queensland and Western Australia. Our mutual obligation system, the hoops that job seekers have to jump through, in order to keep receiving their payments. We've always been particularly harsh when it comes to how we treat job seekers, but things have gotten much, much harsher, under the last 9 years of of conservative rule. So yeah, it's a tremendous relief to see the end of the LNP, but of course that release, like, eventually is replaced by an acknowledgement that, you know, what the new federal government has promised people on standing payments is actually very little.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the cashless debit card there, Paz, which was first introduced in, I would argue, quite a racist way in remote Aboriginal communities. And Tony Abbott very contemptuously talked about the moral failings of the unemployed, that somehow they're all alcoholics and drug addicts, and that their money should be policed and monitored in a very sort of paternalistic kind of way. It was one of the more odious elements of the Liberals' welfare programs. The Albanese government has announced, however, an end to this humiliating system. What is it that made the cashless debit card so loathsome among the unemployed, so humiliating, and why is it a welcome development that it's now being brought to an end?
Yeah, well, this is probably the most positive thing that the Albanese government has promised for people on welfare payments. The cashless a welfare card in both its forms, the basics card, of course, you know, being the older of the two cards, which, you know, as you note, you know, dates all the way back to the Northern Territory and the, you know, the intervention, which has been running there for 15 years, has caused nothing but stress and, like, humiliation and upset. And the fact is that it starts from the assumption that if you're on a Centrelink payment, you know, you're somehow like incompetent and like irresponsible and like incapable of managing you know, your affairs and your finances, and that's a deeply, like, offensive unlike assumption. And as you point out, you know, like, it's often a very racist assumption. The fact is that, the you know, where people on Centrelink payments struggle to you know, manage their finances, it's because they simply don't have enough money coming in. It's because, you know, their payments are disgustingly low and their living expenses are extremely high. And instead of, like, addressing that fact, the card starts from the assumption that people on payments are making the wrong choices with their money, and therefore, you know, like, it's acceptable to, you know, treat them as second class citizens, to subject them to, you know, conditions that no one else in the community has to be subject to, like, I mean, micromanage, you know, where people shop and what people buy, and yeah, the level of, like, humiliation and surveillance. The fact is that, you know, the card has never, like, achieved like any of its so-called outcomes. Like, there's, you know, it's been report after report after report, like, including government reports showing that, you know, for the small number of people, you know, who do have issues managing their money, like, whether it's because of, you know, like, alcohol issues or substance abuse issues or, you know, difficulties budgeting, the card's been useless. I mean, because of, and the fact is, you know, it just doesn't actually work, because if someone's in serious difficulty, they don't need this kind of sledgehammer approach coming in, taking away control, making them feel, like, even worse. That's not going to turn people's lives around. You know, shame and oppression never turns people's lives around. You know, positive programs work, but the government's never been interested in funding any of those. So, you know, they don't want to fund, you know, positive, culturally appropriate services that, you know, build people's own skills. They just want to fund punishment and shame. So it's just been a disaster.
Yeah, a rare bit of welcome good news for the unemployed and poor people. Now, next month, the employment services provider, JobActive, will be replaced by something called Workforce Australia. Is this merely a cosmetic name change, or are you anticipating something more fundamental in the system of, you mentioned before, the system of so-called mutual obligation for the unemployed? A new points-based system is being proposed as part of this change. Now, how much impact will all of this have on the lives of the unemployed?
Well, it's been difficult to get accurate information about how this new system is going to work. I mean, one thing we do know is that it is it is another step down the path of digitization of the welfare system. Now, that's bad news in my view, because I think, I mean, first of all, we know that, you know, like anything that makes the welfare system more automated, like anything that removes more face-to-face contact is bad news, because, you know, that means a removal of checks and balances. When we think of like digitizing the welfare system, you know, we think of, you know, robots, and what a catastrophe that was. You know, something I forgot to mention earlier when we, you know, spoke about the horrors of the last 9 years. So we know that there'll be about 170,000 job seekers who will be switching to like an online only system of, you know, like interacting with the welfare system and meeting their mutual obligation requirements. Now, that's the other reason that's bad news, apart from the reduced checks and balances, is because we know that, you know, many people in poverty, digital access is a real issue. Like, they don't have the right technology at home. You know, they don't have a proper internet connection. If they're older job seekers, they might not have the skill to be able to do everything online. Spare a thought in particular for, you know, people in remote communities who likely have, you know, very limited and like intermittent like internet access. So, like any shift to a system that means more the interaction will be online and less will be face to face. That's very, very bad news. Like aside from that, the other thing to say is, you know, we already have one of the strictest and most punishing mutual obligation systems in the world. And like anything, I mean, what we need more than like anything is a relaxation of those obligations, because they don't actually help people find work. Like all they lead to is, I mean, people getting crypt up, like having their payments and cut, and, you know, going through the stress of having to get reconnected and potentially going days and without money. So we don't have the full picture yet of the new system, but I don't think it's a fundamental change. And what we do know is that, you know, if, you know, it's likely to lead to more engagement online. And for many people, that'll be very frustrating and very inconvenient.
Moving now to the broader economic situation, Paz, we're currently living through a period of very high prices for basic consumer goods, beyond just electricity prices, which is the thing attracting the most headlines at the moment. In fact, inflation is worse than it's been in decades. Yet at the same time, and this is very disappointing, I'm sure, for many welfare advocates and people on welfare payments, and indeed for people more broadly who are supportive of and excited about the new Labor government coming into power, that government has declared it will not be supporting an increase in the job seeker payment at a time of such high prices and a cost of living crisis for working class and unemployed people. Just how bad is it out there for unemployed people at the moment, given it's hard enough even for people with a job to make ends meet?
Yeah, what's just heartbreaking. If you're on job seeker, chances are that the bulk of your income is going towards them, your rent. And we know that, you know, rents have skyrocketed, you know, year in, year out for as long as we can remember, you know, well above like inflation. And then after you pay your rent, whatever you have left, you know, you cover everything else. But we know there are huge numbers of people who are skipping meals and skipping medicines. So the situation is very, very dire. The incredible thing is that despite like opinion poll after opinion poll telling us that, you know, the community gets it, they don't need to be convinced. Like overwhelming majorities of people support a raise to job seeker. In fact, even during the federal election, like a poll came out commissioned by the Australian Council of Social Service saying that 68% of people support job seeker being raised above the poverty line, and Labor still couldn't make a commitment. In fact, they backed down from their previous position. You know, not only would they not commit to a rate, but they wouldn't even commit to a review of the rate. And that's absolutely heartbreaking. And And I think if you want to deal with the cost of living crisis, you have to deal with what's happening to people on the lowest incomes. You know, you can't talk about supporting people on the minimum wage without talking about supporting people on job seeker. You have to be consistent there.
Absolutely. Now, finally, Paz, the previous Liberal government painted a very rosy picture of economic health in this country, with unemployment supposedly at record low levels, a supposed full recovery from the depths of the COVID lockdowns, that somehow people have no excuse not to get a job. What would you say to that? And where do you think things are going more generally in terms of the future for some of the most marginalised people in our community? We've spoken a lot about some of the changes in the pipeline with the new Albanese government now in office. You know, broadly speaking, in your view, is there cause for hope under this new government?
Well, I mean, I get my hope from the community, from the fact that, you know, there's such strong public support for lifting people out of poverty and for a more like humane and respectful welfare system instead of one that just punishes and shames them recipients. So that's what gives me hope. Like, in terms of the economic situation, I mean, first, we know that the unemployment rate is a figure with, you know, pretty limited meaningfulness. It only gives us a very small part of the picture in terms of what it's like for people looking for paid work at the moment. So, for example, we know that the percentage of people on working age payments at the moment is actually higher now than it was before the GFC. So before the GFC, 3.3% of people were on working age Centrelink payments. We're now at 5.9%. So what that tells us is the unemployment rate is low. There are lots of people with only casual or part-time roles, and they're not earning enough to be able to access the welfare system. So these are, you know, what we think of the working poor, right? Like, they they're getting a bit of income from paid work, but not enough to exit the welfare system, and they're still struggling financially. And that's really like long-term trend that job creation, it's casual and part-time roles, it's insecure roles, it's not full and stable employment, and that trend has got to continue. And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, like, in terms of all of the things we care about, like whether it's raising welfare payments, like whether it's increasing funding for dental care and mental health and public housing, so we can do something about our housing affordability crisis, all those things are going to require raising taxes, and the Labor government has ruled out reversing the stage three tax cuts that will largely benefit people on $200,000 a year. So, in terms of the cost of living crisis, like we know there are solutions out there. They just require a bit of courage and a bit of a principle from the new federal government.
That was co-coordinator of the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia, Paz Forgione, speaking earlier this morning to Indie Media's Alex Wisson. And of course, this is the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. Now, leading up to the federal election, I guess there was a lot of hope, might be one way of saying it, in terms of the ALP perhaps introducing some more progressive policies, particularly around issues such as climate change. But unfortunately for many of us, I guess there was a significant amount of cynicism around hopeful changes to refugee policy. This was made even worse when Albanese reaffirmed his belief that he's going to stop the boats, and sort of very much parroted that's sort of the Tony Abbott line, and renewed his commitment to offshore processing. However, it's not all doom and gloom, as there are some positive outcomes, hopefully, from the federal election in terms of a more humane refugee policy, including scrapping TPVs and also increasing the refugee intake. To find out exactly